Good morning and welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church in Sidney, Ohio. We welcome you as we worship distantly again this day. You will notice in your bulletins a little change that I've inserted portions of the communion liturgy. It's my belief that Christ told us to do this in remembrance of me, so we will do it parts of it even though we will not be receiving communion. The services, of course, will be available on Facebook in the morning and on YouTube also, and we'll send the link out where that is. I'm asking you, parents, people who are graduating this year, to send me a graduation picture, a service. Later on in the month, I will put those pictures on the software, and we will honor our graduates, whether it's high school, college, junior college, trade school, whatever. You've worked hard for this, and so we at St. John's would like to recognize that. Let's begin our worship by rising and making our confession before God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May receiving the forgiveness of God bring the peace of Christ into your hearts and also with you.
Jesus. God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. O God, your Son makes himself known to us and all his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first lesson is from the second chapter of Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is from the first chapter of 1 Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God, the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel today comes to us from the 24th chapter of Luke. Now on that same day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? They stood still, looking sad. One of them said, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? He asked them, What things? They replied, The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women in our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said to them he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead of them as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. He was at the table with them. He took bread, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and Jesus the Christ. So, what about Emmaus? Or, where is Emmaus? It was a little known town that scholars have been unable to exactly locate in all this time. Now, given the details of the story that the two who went to Emmaus and returned to Jerusalem the same day, it certainly couldn't have been very far away, because they, after all, were walking. Luke doesn't tell us why the two disciples were going there. It's quite possible they were going home. Were they going there on business, maybe? Or just going there to get away from the terrible things they had witnessed in Jerusalem? Going to get away. Emmaus can be a name for a place that we go to in order to escape. Depending on us, it may be a bar, a movie. Wherever it is, we can throw up our hands and say, "I give up." It makes no difference anyway. Emmaus may be a quiet place. We go in our homes since we can't go to church on Sunday. Emmaus is whatever we do or wherever we go to make ourselves forget that the world holds nothing sacred, that even the wisest and the bravest and loveliest things will decay and die. We worry that a tiny virus has taken control of the whole planet, and we have no real power against it. We want to go for a walk to get away. So come walk with me. I need to get away from the evil in my life. It's different for each one of us. Maybe it's an abusive relationship, and you say, "I'm scared. Come walk with me." You might say, "Come walk with me as I begin my chemotherapy and radiation therapy. I don't know where this is going. I'm scared. Come walk with me." Come walk with me as I give birth to a child that is being born into a world ravaged by a virus. I'm scared just as much for my baby as I am for myself. Walk with me. Come walk with me as my loved one and I say our vows to begin our walk through life together. What will it be like after this pandemic? What will our new life as husband and wife be like? We have no idea, and we're scared. These stories could go on and on and on. As the disciples on their way to Emmaus found out, we're not walking alone either. Well, we're walking, not recognizing Jesus walking with us, makes our life's journeys even more difficult. And as much as we want to recognize him, we must at the same time not forget the most common command our Lord gave us: do not be afraid. I am with you even to the end of the age. Do not be afraid. The risen Lord meets us on the road to the Emmauses of our lives, in the ordinary places and experiences of our lives, and in the places which we like to retreat to when life just becomes a bit too much. This story warns us, however, that the Lord may come to us in unfamiliar guises when we least expect him. It was not until they were at the table did Cleopas and his companion discover that their traveling companion was in fact the Lord. They had not planned it as a sacred moment, but in the act of sharing their bread with a stranger, they recognized the risen Lord as their fellow traveler. In a fascinating way, the Emmaus story has a counterpart in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. You remember in that parable, the rich man feasts daily, but never notices the beggar at his gate, nor does he ever share bread with him. But in Hades, he pleads to Abraham to send Abraham back to warn his brothers. But Abraham responds, "They've got Moses and the prophets." And when the rich man persists, Abraham's final word is, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Here, the story involves Moses and the prophets and the resurrection from the dead, and a story that pivots at the table. The difference between them is what happens at the table. Cleopas and his companions share their table with a stranger and discover that they have been in the presence of Jesus himself. The rich man took no notice of the beggar until he was in torment in Hades. Now, try to imagine for a moment, what might the rich man have discovered if he had shared his bread with Lazarus while they both were still alive? One of the tantalizing elements of the Emmaus story is the report that as soon as the two disciples recognized the Lord, he disappeared. God's presence is always elusive. It's fleeting. It's dancing. At the age of our awareness and perception, if we're honest, we must confess that God's presence is never constant, never steady, and certainly never predictable. The nuns in The Sound of Music sing, "How can you catch a moonbeam in your hand? And how can you hold a wave upon the sand?" We, as God's faithful, should perceive God's presence in fleeting moments before the mundane of our life closes back in. For this reason, we need to learn to treasure any religious experience in hindsight. The two in Emmaus exclaim, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" after the fact. Elijah saw only the backside of God as God passed by. And Job confessed, "Look, he passes by me and I do not see him. He moves on, but I do not perceive him." One of the secrets of a confident faith is learning to appreciate the importance of realizing we meet God in the past as well as now in the present. We hear from Luke, "Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee." Then he remembered his words. Experience the presence of God. It's not a private gift. We never have it alone. It is to be shared. When Mary met Jesus in the garden, she ran back to tell the other disciples. And when the disciples saw Jesus in the upper room, they told Thomas. Now, in both of these stories, the others did not believe what they had been told. Unfortunately, we're no different. Why is it we don't believe what we've been told in the Scripture? The words of Scripture will seem to be an idle tale to those who do not yet believe, but for those of us who have witnessed God's presence in our lives at a hospital bed, at a birth, sitting waiting for surgery results, or holding a sick grandchild, these experiences can be a transforming reality. Come walk with me, Lord Jesus. Easter was not over at sundown on Easter Sunday. It stretches into every day for the rest of our lives. The women could not call back the angels they had seen at the tomb. And the two disciples might never meet the stranger on the road again. But it wouldn't matter. Their lives would never again be the same. Luke's gospel stretches Easter Day into the scenes of experiences that are happening going forward. The rest of the story will go on in our lives as an extension of the Easter reality. The Lord is risen, and he comes back to meet us on the road to our Emmaus. Through our study of Scripture, we find our hearts strangely warmed, and we recognize him in the breaking of the bread. And after that, how can we not go and tell? So I ask you, come walk with me. Amen. Let us profess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We are uplifted by the promise of healing and resurrection. Let us join the people of God in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. For those whose hearts are fervent with love for your gospel, we give thanks that they are empowered to tell the story of your love in their lives and to show hospitality in response to this love. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the care of our world. We ask for relief from droughts and storms and other natural events. Care for all the wild and endangered animals who call our planet home. We ask that you nurture and protect them. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our broken political system. Raise up leaders who will work for the people instead of for selfish interests. Redeem us from the cycles of scarcity and violence. We need leadership to work to care for all who've been affected by the coronavirus and the net economic outflow of that. Give them wisdom to guide our economy, which is also in confinement. Lord, in your mercy, for all who call upon your name, bring healing to those infected with the coronavirus. Protect those who are caring for people who are confined and for those caring for those infected in hospitals or care centers. Bring wisdom to all of us who must do our part to prevent the further spread of this pandemic. You know our name, even if we're wearing a mask. As you walk each day with us, show us ways to care for those who are hungry, friendless, despairing, and desiring healing in spirit during this time of exile. Lord, in your mercy, bring the Holy Spirit to those youth who, because of our separation, have not had their confirmation ceremony. Let them know that you're with them each day as they continue to grow in their faith. Be with those who might miss their graduation ceremony this year. Let them know that you are with them also as they begin their journey into their next adventure. We pray for those who are now teachers of their children. Give them wisdom and patience. We give thanks for our teachers and our school systems who are continuing to bring learning to our children, the ones that they love. Lord, in your mercy, we live in the hope of your promise of eternal and resurrected life. Keep this hope in the hearts of all of those whose family members may be nearing the end of their life. We know that death is not the end. It's a transition into your presence. Lord, in your mercy, with bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ our Lord. Amen. A reminder again this week, please send in your offerings to the office. The expenses are going on, even though the offerings are way down. Please do what you can and mail it in. Thank you. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day, you shower us with blessings. As you've raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks to
him. It's indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. So with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels and cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you've made us for yourself, and we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death. You, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms on the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. The night in which he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup of wine. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood in the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us so that we may serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with you and all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Have we been brought together by the Holy Spirit? Let us pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please join me now in this invitation to communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are truly present in the sacrament of communion. I desire to offer you praise and thanksgiving as I proclaim your resurrection. I love you above all things and long for you in my soul. Since I cannot receive you in the sacrament of your body and blood, come spiritually into my heart. Cleanse and strengthen me with your grace, Lord Jesus, and let me never be separated from you. May I live in you, and you in me, in this life and in the life to come. May I always do this in remembrance of you. Amen. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you sent light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. And now may the living Christ walk with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Rejoice in the risen Christ. And now take this message of hope to all you can. Go in peace. Deliver the gospel. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Give my life to follow everything I believe in.